Officially, then, this is the beginning of Esoteric Astrology Adventure number 124D, page 486, and we've been talking about greater and lesser zodiacs. A zodiac of 12, which is ours, and which is the heart and the head center of the one about whom naught may be said. And then maybe a zodiac of 10. I wonder if at any place DK speaks of that. I have a kind of memory of it. And I discussed this with Stephen Pugh, and he has many fine ideas about it. Zodiac and just 10. There are 6 references, and let's see if we can find anything that's going to give us the clue as to the size of this other zodiac. When a zodiac is organized, or anything is organized on the principle of the number 10, it's rather Kabbalistic. It's like 2 fives. Our 12 is like 2 sixes. So the sixes and the 12s indicate kind of a soft line influence. The 5 and the 10, more a hard line influence. And what will it be in our next solar system? Will we have our 12 constellations? Will the heart and the head center be precisely what it is now? Obviously, speculation will not give us anything really meaningful. Here it is. They with the 7 solar systems. Yeah, okay. Well, this is something of importance. I would like, and this is from what book here? Esoteric Astrology. Okay, we may have mentioned it. It's from the earlier times. I would like also to emphasize, perhaps unnecessarily, that Sirius, Great Bear, and Pleiades work through the medium of the 12 constellations, pouring their influences through 9 of them in particular. Mm-hmm. Well, we remember that they were pouring through 3 constellations, Leo, Pisces, and Capricorn, in the 18-fold chart, and then they were pouring their influences together through Cancer, Capricorn, Gemini, Sagittarius, and Aries, Libra. But some of them are repeats. So if we add the 6 to the 3, we're not going to get a 9 because Capricorn is a repeat and Leo is a repeat. Anyway, a zodiac of 10, they with the 7 solar systems of which ours is 1, are the 10 constellations which are not conditioned by the numerical, are the 10 constellations which are not conditioned by the numerical significance of the number 12, hence 10 is regarded as the number of perfection. There is confusion in the minds of some of the less learned students astrologically considered on this point. I think I've reviewed this. I'd like to consider us all a little bit less learned because you see, the problem here, and I probably talked about it before, is that the 7 solar systems, of which ours is 1, is looked at constellationally here. And yet we gave good reason to think of these 7 solar systems as simply stellar systems. And if they are stellar systems, how can they be considered constellational? Unless there is a blind operating here, and each one of our 7 solar systems in some way represents 7 additional constellations, additional to the Great Bear, Sirius, and Pleiades. So you can see that this is a highly blinded area, but suffice it to say there is a greater zodiac which is based upon the number 10. And each one of the signs, or whatever you want to call it, in this zodiac would also have I'm trying not to get distracted here. Each one of these signs in the greater zodiac will also have a certain divisions, and maybe 3-fold divisions. Who knows? Could it be 2-fold divisions? It's hard to say. But these divisions in the signs will be ruled by other constellations. Now, as I say, in order to, if you really wanted to progress in such a manner that was smooth and systematic, whereas planets rule the different decanates of the sign, one doesn't really know how one would divide a constellation into three, but one can certainly divide a 30-degree sign into three, then maybe suns of some kind would be the rulers of constellations. In other words, as planets are to constellations, doesn't work exactly. Planets are connected to constellations, and planets are not part of constellations. They are not constituent parts. Stars are. So maybe suns would be decanate rulers of still greater constellations. In other words, I'm not sure why the stage of star is skipped. I have this kind of sense of thinking of things in terms of occult continuity. And if a planet is one level, the star is the next, the constellation is the next. But here we have constellations as rulers. I believe that's what he did just say. The threefold division of the zodiac is ruled by three constellations, which are to this greater zodiac what the planets are to the decanate. Now here, there's still one more possibility, and that possibility is, one more possibility, I'm not saying it's, here's a proposal, but I want to list the one more possibility, that the entire greater zodiac is divided into three parts, and each of those three parts are ruled by either Taurus, Scorpio, or Pisces. I consider this maybe a less likely possibility, because when I look carefully at how this is worded, I pointed out the fact that the word zodiac is our zodiac. So the zodiac is part of a still greater zodiac and is also divided into three parts, instead of which is also divided into three parts. So our zodiac is divided into three parts, and could those three parts, could those three parts of our zodiac be divided along the lines of cardinal, fixed, and mutable? Now, it would be tempting to think so, except that of the three cosmic decanates, rulers, two of them are fixed, and one of them is mutable, and there are no cardinals. So if we would have to say that we'd have to look at the cardinal signs as expressing the first ray. In this case, Scorpio, which is fixed, would rule the four cardinal constellations, because Scorpio distributes the first ray, and so do the constellations of the cardinal cross. Cardinal cross. Pisces, I better separate this out, because this is a new idea. I know we could become overwhelmed with ideas, but at least we must propose the possibilities. Pisces, a mutable sign, would rule the the four fixed signs, because the four fixed constellations, we can be interchangeable about the word signs and constellations at this point, express the second ray. And Pisces is the main second ray decanate ruler. Then Taurus would rule the four signs of the mutable cross, because the mutable cross expresses the third aspect, and Taurus in this connection also expresses the third ray, or third aspect. Well, that's another, so therefore, Pisces, in another mode, would be included by the sign, included in the signs ruled by Taurus, because Pisces is on the mutable cross. Within the Tibetan's words here, nothing entirely straightforward is presented. We only know from a practical point of view that three great teachers are associated with these three decanate rulers, which are, to the greater zodiac, what planets are to the decanate division in our familiar zodiac. And this tells us something about the importance of these three signs. Hercules, ray one. So it's Scorpio's kind of a first ray, a decanate ruler. Christ, ray two. Pisces, then, is a second ray decanate ruler. And Buddha, monadically, ray three. We're assuming that the ray of Hercules, he is identified with the first ray in any case, whether his monadic ray is that. But the Buddha's monadic ray is the third, even though both he and the Christ are found on the second ray in terms of their soul, or higher ego. So the Buddha would be associated, the constellation Taurus, in this respect, as a decanate ruler in a greater zodiac, would be considered to be distributing the third ray, a sort of third ray decanate ruler. So it gets complex, and probably more complex than it first seemed when you simply read that the threefold division of the zodiac is ruled by three constellations, which are to this greater zodiac, which was mentioned before, because when it says the zodiac, you see, here's where we don't know for sure. The threefold division of the zodiac. So here, when he says the zodiac, when he says the zodiac, it seems like ours. But if it is not, then we have a different setup. With the greater zodiac divided into three. But this, I said, is less likely. So it seems to me, at my present level of ignorance, it seems less likely. The threefold division of the zodiac is ruled by three constellations, which are to this greater zodiac, it depends on the antecedent, to the greater zodiac, or this greater zodiac, which is under discussion, what the planets are to the decanates. Well, I've offered, I think, all the ideas I can on this particular arrangement. Suffice it to say that just the way planets carry certain rays, you know, we're looking at Aries and it's ruled by, let's say, Jupiter, Sun, and Mars, second ray Jupiter, second ray Sun, and sixth ray Mars. And each of those so-called planets, Sun is not, but it's called that in that context, has a certain quality. So each of these ruling constellations has a certain quality. And what I'm thinking is that Taurus, Scorpio, and Pisces rule three divisions of our zodiac. And they also rule divisions of other parts which are of the greater zodiac, which are like our zodiac and divided into different parts. And so Taurus, Scorpio, and Pisces would be out there ruling different divisions, and they probably aren't alone if the analogy holds good, because perhaps three other constellations from somewhere are considered to be decanate rulers of the zodiac of the decanates of the zodiac of 10. Well, this is beyond. We're into the life process of the one about whom naught may be said when we think about these things. And the only way we can really make any of this meaningful to us is to think of the great teachers who are associated with these three rulers, the rulers being Taurus, Scorpio, and Pisces. I don't want to let it go, you know. So the zodiac itself is part of a greater zodiac, and it's also divided into three parts. The threefold divisions of the zodiac is ruled by three constellations, which are to the greater zodiac what the planets are to decanates, is ruled by three constellations, but not necessarily only the three which are here singled out. Others are probably involved, maybe four more, which are to this greater zodiac what planets are to the decanates. And planets have a certain relationship to our zodiac as a whole, these ruling planets, and they are particularly related to particular parts of our zodiac. So the constellations are that we're talking about as ruling constellations are particularly related to certain parts of the greater zodiac. Let's call it a zodiac of 10 for the time being until we're corrected and find it to be a zodiac based upon some other number. So there are no real conclusions here, just that we have a special special constellations in our zodiac, which may be in a way rulers of sections of our zodiac and are certainly rulers of sections of a greater zodiac. So, you know, trying to make it a little simpler, we have to say that Taurus, Scorpio, and Pisces are rulers of certain sections of the greater zodiac, which is a zodiac perhaps based on the number 10, with maybe 30 divisions, three divisions of which are found in our zodiac of 12. Well, I guess that's the most thought I've given to this particular section. It was always a little bit enigmatical. Definitely enigmatical. But I managed to avoid having to think too closely about the blinds and about the unfathomed connections. This time I couldn't avoid it. Yes, I'm a little bit frustrated because the whole thing isn't entirely resolved, but there is enough to think about to expand the picture of our planets and the decanates they rule into certain constellations and the greater decanates that they rule. Now, the whole thing is in a way upside down because some of the zodiacal constellations are very great indeed and have some fantastically powerful stars in them. I think we have, you know, we have the issue of signs and constellations to deal with here. And so the question is, in what sense are they any less, since they are parts of just one part of the zodiac of 10, let's say, our constellations, our 12, are parts of one chakra, one part of this greater zodiac, in what sense are they really any less than those other chakras or constellations taken as a whole? Now, of course, Orion is probably one of those signs, chakras, and we can divide it into how many decanates, I don't know, how many parts, I don't know. The threefold division, because we're studying the science of triangles, seems indicated. How do we divide a constellation into three parts? How do we divide any constellation into three parts? It's just accepted as a convention that there are degrees in these constellations, and some of them are shorter, smaller, and larger. Some of them contain 40 degrees. Some of them might contain 10 degrees. And yet we act as if they all contain 30 degrees. And it's easy enough to divide 30 into three parts and say, okay, this 10-degree section is ruled by a particular planet. But can we go out there into a constellation like Orion and say, well, there are really 30 degrees in Orion somehow, and that each one of these degrees corresponding to the first, second, and third aspect is ruled by a particular constellation, three of which come from our own zodiac? I think we're running into some occult blinds here. You know, this is the whole thing is properly veiled. If the veil has hardly been lifted on planetary lore, is it at all lifted on zodiacal lore and on constellations supposedly greater still? When you look at our particular seven solar systems of which one is said, of which ours is one, seven solar, mixed two things, seven solar systems of which ours is one, they are not especially powerful stars. Consider the whole grouping as one constellation. In a way, it is of less potency than some of the constellations, which are just a part of the heart and the head of the one about whom naught may be said. So here's an entire chakra in the one about whom naught may be said. Let's say the seven solar systems of which ours is one is an entire chakra. I already gave reasons why I think the seven solar systems are really systems, but let's just say all gathered together, they are one chakra. And here's just a little part of a greater chakra, and that little part of the greater chakra in the head of the one about whom not may be said may be greater than the entire chakra below. Factors like those have to be factored in. There's no question that the whole zodiac, considered as one highly elevated chakra, is greater than the seven solar systems of which ours is one. And probably greater than the Little Bear and greater than the Great Bear. The Great Bear is the grouping of seven head centers within the region of the head of the one about whom naught may be said. And the entire heart in the head center is greater, because it's the main part of the greatest of all the head centers in any being, and this time in the one about whom Nami said. So this is the main 12 petals. It's going to be greater than the Great Bear, collectively, altogether, greater than the Little Bear, greater than seven stars and the Pleiades, but not greater necessarily than all the Pleiades together, and greater than other chakric systems and the one about whom naught may be said. What I'm trying to do is hierarchicalize these beings so that the different parts within their nature can be seen in terms of their spiritual status of power and consciousness. And we'd have no way of measuring the love aspect there, but at least in terms of their magnitude of power, perhaps in terms of their consciousness, activity, we cannot measure. Perhaps power is the thing we can measure, or at least not measure, but have a sense of, a reasonable sense of. Well, look, I know I've probably gone more deeply into this than anybody has wanted to go. And sometimes I feel that I'm offering speculations for someone like myself in a future incarnation when I'll have more knowledge and time with my colleagues who will also have more knowledge and time and will be further advanced in their consciousness and will be able to think about these things. But at least the thought will be planted in the minds of those who presently consider these matters. And even though there will probably be no conclusion, no intuitive gelling of the entire situation immediately, although someone who knows may come along, it will be food for thought in the future. And eventually will be solved. Obviously DK knows, someone knows. And for us, we're given these tendrils of hints with magnitudes all mixed up and inverted. And when I say magnitude, I don't mean like visual magnitude or absolute magnitude where we're talking about the light which reaches us. I'm talking about power. Of course, the light, the luminosity, may be a representation of power. If I know that there's a star in Orion which is 300,000 times brighter than the sun, you know, if they were both at the same distance from us, which they are not, thank goodness, the sun would be 300,000 times less luminous than this particular star. I know there would be a difference in power. And because of the difference in power, I would suspect there would be a difference in consciousness. As all of these things, I think, would be proportional. Power, consciousness, and the range of activity would be proportional. So these are thoughts for the future. Some of them may be useful, some of them may be misleading, hopefully not too misleading. I just offer them as hypotheses. The three ruling constellations that's what they are, just like ruling planets, and I want to keep that firmly in my mind. Just like ruling planets, operating in relation to more than one sign, and thus in relation to more than one so-called sign or section or constellation of the greater zodiac. Are Scorpio on the fixed cross, Taurus on the fixed cross, and Pisces on the immutable cross. I've already gone through the problem of that particular division. They're not all divided, so if we are dividing our particular chakra, our zodiacal chakra, which is the heart and the head of the one about whom that be said, in three sections, that Scorpio would rule the part connected with signs which in general bring in the first aspect. And they would be in general the cardinal signs, because not that these are necessarily first-rate constellations, but they are, as a whole, a grouping which is associated with the first aspect of divinity. This would necessarily be so because testing and trial, Scorpio, desire, illumination, Taurus, matter, form, and salvation are the keynotes of our solar system and of our Earth in particular. Now, why does he relate it to our solar system? Why to our solar system? I could say this, that if we were talking about signs and not constellations, I could see the relation to our solar system, because the signs are within our solar system, but the constellations are not. But in any case, when we're considering the effect of these three upon ourselves as being major with respect to our solar system and probably to our Earth, then testing and trial are Scorpionic. Desire and illumination are Taurian. And matter, form, and salvation, these are Piscean. Well, when you think about form, you can relate form to Taurus and even matter to Taurus, but the sea of matter is related to Pisces, water is matter, and form generally connected with the third aspect. But salvation is a second aspect matter and is related to Pisces in its higher meaning. So I just want to... You see how DK has certain descriptors or titles which he repeats all the time in connection with certain signs of the zodiac and certain planets. There might be Saturn conflict, Mars idealism, Jupiter success, Scorpio trial, Taurus desire illumination, Cancer form. Every one of them has certain key words. Aquarius, service, Pisces, salvation, Capricorn, initiation, Sagittarius, one-pointedness or vision, Scorpio, struggle, Libra, decision or balance. You know, there are key words that make it rather easy to see what the combination of these signs of the zodiac or the combination of certain planets would be. When you combine a few words for great entities, you can see something of what their combination would be. If you go on to very, very lengthy descriptions of what each one does, it's rather hard to see what their combined effect would be. So you do want to have certain rubrics or descriptors which are synthetic. So we need synthetic descriptors. And DK gives them to us. You know, Aries, beginnings, that kind of thing. Gemini, duality. Virgo, the mother. You know, there are certain key ideas, key notes, which are synthetic. So basically, keynotes and descriptors are synthetic and represent the main energies of an entire constellation or star or planet, etc. So what's going on within our solar system, which is not yet sacred, and is undergoing a kind of lesser fourth initiation to our planet, I believe? Testing and trial. A desire for illumination and desire rightly handled leading to illumination. Dealing with matter and form from the previous solar system and achieving salvation from that earlier previous solar system tendency, salvation from the energies of the previous solar system. They are the keynotes. So why not really list them in a prominent way? Feel like doing that? Well, I have to do it in red. Testing, trial, desire. Okay, maybe commas would be nice, huh? Testing, trial, desire, illumination, matter, form, salvation. So the signs are of our particular solar system, and of the 12 signs, these are the major keynotes, the major keynotes for our solar system. And so when choosing from the qualities of the signs, we find that the signs which represent these keynotes are the ones that have to be considered major. So basically what we're saying with respect to our solar system, these 7 keynotes are major. And the signs which express these keynotes are also major. So somehow, it's very difficult to determine which are the greatest of the constellational lords of our zodiac. Nothing is equal in this respect. They all have different qualities, and they are differently unfolded. You know, whatever unfoldment is possible to them, they are along the way at different stages of their possible unfoldment, but they are also of different spiritual status. Like, we cannot compare the lord of the constellation Mars, for instance, to the lord of the constellation Jupiter or Saturn. We know which one of those lords has a greater status. Certainly Jupiter or Saturn has a greater status than the non-sacred Mars or than the lord of the lord of the planet Pluto. If I said constellation, I'm sorry. The bad thing here is I can't really go back and replay this. I have to just keep moving. It's an Aries liability. So, but when you look at the constellations, can you necessarily tell which are superior and which are inferior? You get the idea that Capricorn is one of the superior constellations. It seems to be listed among other factors which are very potent. But when you're looking at Taurus, Scorpio, and Pisces, maybe in terms of signs, they're important simply because our solar system is as it is. Maybe in terms of the entire zodiac, we are not looking at the 3 most evolved constellational lords. So is the importance relative, just the way Sirius is to us? Sirius is still considered a dwarf star, even though approximately 33 times more luminous than our sun. Still a dwarf star, but very important to us. So maybe these 3 are considered rulers with respect to the signs and our constellation. What I would be looking for, and will not find for a long, long time, I'm looking for the relative status of the 12 lords of our 12 constellations, 12 zodiacal constellations. Zodiacal constellations. And I think we can find that when we look at planets in our solar system. I think there is a ranking of the degree of unfoldment, the kind of initiate these planets are. So what kind of sort of super cosmic initiate, still cosmic, it's the large term, but what type of super cosmic initiate is each lord of the constellation? Then we might see which are the most important, but I will always say important to whom. Because as I've used the analogy before, one's parents may be very important to oneself as a child, but in the larger city or community or state or nation, they are not of the same importance as maybe some other more important people who are playing a bigger role within those larger wholes. So these are the keynotes, and these are the keynotes taken from these three rulers. He does call them ruling constellations. And I think I'm going to correct an idea that I have had before, that these three in some way constitute three decanates within a greater being. Rather, it looks like they are ruling constellations of larger aggregations which can be called decanates. That's the way it begins to look at this point. And so this is a revision of my thought, and I don't know about earlier in the book whether I mentioned this or not. There may be some errors in that respect. Well, in any case, we plowed the field. This solar system, so remember those keynotes, if we can, you know, test, trial, desire, illumination, matter, form, and salvation. Remember those keynotes, if it is possible. This solar system is a system which is expressing the second aspect of divinity, I would say, through the second ray soul, and second ray personality of our solar logos, and hence the emphasis upon the forces pouring through Scorpio, Taurus, and Pisces. These are only constellations which transmit only rays on the 2, 4, 6 line. Scorpio 4, Taurus 4, Pisces 2 and 6. Of course, there are other latent rays which are probably associated, as I have long said, but they have a lot to do with the consciousness aspect. We're dealing here with the ascent of the soul. We're dealing with a sign in which Venus, representing consciousness, is in detriment. It's ruling Taurus and exalted in Pisces. Venus is our soul. Venus provides the energy which animates our soul aspect on the higher mental plane and animates the solar angel. So these, he says, ponder on this. You know, maybe we're doing nothing but pondering. Whether the depth of the pondering is sufficient is a good question. Perhaps in the next solar system, and if there is another zodiac of 10 or a greater zodiac, because we don't know the life cycles of these zodiacs, but presumably our zodiac is a part of that greater being. And so if we have our zodiac repeating itself and our solar system and planets repeating itself, then the greater system will also either have to persist or repeat itself in some way. It'll have to be present in some way, whether there's been a pralaya or not. Just think of those cycles. They just get a little flash about the kinds of cycles and relative durations that are involved here in considering the interaction of the parts. So, you know, after expanding our mind way out there or way in there, we're going to have to deal with things that are closer to home. They will be practical, and the keynotes of these signs are practical. So, Scorpio, Taurus, and Pisces, they have a lot to do with the consciousness aspect, with the victory of the soul over form, Scorpio, with the illumination of the consciousness, Taurus, and with the salvation of the consciousness and its disengagement from the forces of form and the realization of the one consciousness, the universal consciousness in Pisces. So consciousness is of the second aspect, so all of these are related to consciousness. Now in the previous solar system, whatever decanate setup we had, probably it would be more related to intelligent form and to making sure that the forms were adequate to serve the way they would have to in the next solar system. We're building constantly 3-2-1, 3 towards 2 towards 1. A hint is here conveyed anent our zodiac, which is of extreme supreme importance to the astrologer of the future. In the cosmic decanates to which I here refer, now is he calling Scorpio, Taurus, and Pisces cosmic decanates or rulers of cosmic decanates? So far, the revision of my thought is that he's been calling them up to this time the rulers of cosmic decanates. But now he seems to be calling them cosmic decanates per se. At least they have a important and extensive role as leading sections, perhaps, of three divisions in our zodiac. So they have at least an importance relative to three great divisions in our zodiac of 12. So whether they are rulers of cosmic decanates or are cosmic decanates themselves will have to remain a little unresolved. It will be found that three great sons of God, and you know, here we get practical, don't we? Three great sons of God have expressed for us the quality, the keynote, and the development, which is expressive of each decanate. So there is a little bit of a, can we call it a confusion? Is there a confusion? These three constellations are rulers of cosmic decanates, but also are associated with cosmic decanates because our zodiac is divided into cosmic decanates, and these three may be the leaders of those three divisions. Maybe, maybe not. because, you know, if we have a cosmic decanate, for instance, consisting of only cardinal signs, none of them can be part of that, but they can be rulers of it. So I hope we see the distinction here between a ruler of cosmic decanates, in other words, like planets are to a zodiac and to the parts of the zodiac, so constellations are to this greater zodiac and parts of this greater zodiac, rulers, but cosmic decanates as well. And that's why the confusion exists. So this cannot immediately be resolved. But if they are to be called cosmic decanates, it's because they are probably leading influences in relation to the three cosmic decanates into which our zodiac is divided. So I'll repeat that. They are leading influences in relation to the three cosmic decanates into which our zodiac of 12 is divided. I think that's the best I can do on it, you know, as the author Sinnott, you know, he was writing in the 19th century, and he was writing, I think, on esoteric Buddhism, which is more about knowledge. Blavatsky explains that. It's the wisdom rather than just Buddhism per se as a religion. And he was asking questions of Master K.H., and Master K.H. basically was telling him that, look, you're asking questions that pertain to the fifth or sixth initiation, so obviously I cannot answer those questions. And sometimes when I get into these speculations, I have the thought that if these were really to be followed out and lead to intuitive apprehension so that the entire question was illuminated, we would be dealing with secrets of higher initiations altogether. So, you know, we run into a wall, that's okay, but at least we've done our preparation. You know the story of the shoemaker and the elves. The poor old shoemaker was not doing so well, financially, I guess, and he would work on shoes, but he couldn't, he was too fatigued to finish them, and so he would just put all the parts out on the bench and go to sleep. And then when he woke up, lo and behold, the shoe was assembled. The intuition had done its work in the middle of the night, so to speak. The elves came out and assembled the shoes. The elves are the representatives here of the intuition. So we too, we can separate all this out into the parts and pieces and say, look, this is not configured yet. We know these things belong together, but we don't know what goes here, what goes there, what the priority is, what the order is. Wake up in the morning in some fine life, perhaps, or on another plane, and find the shoe to be assembled. We might have to wait for quite a few initiations before the shoe gets assembled. Interesting about, you know, the shoe, Pisces, and the intuition. Kind of a triangle there, isn't there? A little absurd triangle, but it does make sense in a way. Well, these three great sons of God are Hercules, working in relation to Scorpio, and strength through testing, so there's a strong Ray 1 implication. The Buddha works through Taurus, and the light of illumination comes out. Now, you know, does light relate to the second aspect of divinity or the third aspect of divinity? Either one in a way, but if we look at power, light, and love, the light is more connected with the third aspect. And the Christ bringing in resurrection, interestingly about resurrection, it connects maybe with the sign we might call Aries-Pisces, sort of the Alpha and Omega, because we learned about the seventh initiation, how Aries is related to it and to the resurrection, and how Aries will eventually be the initiator when Earth is less earthy. So this resurrection through sacrifice, well, both the first and second aspect are here indicated. But Pisces, of course, while it does have some planetary first ray expressed, is largely a second ray sign, and the Christ, of course, is the great exemplar of the second ray, you know, the ultimate second ray monad as far as humanity is concerned. And the Buddha, DK did give the hint, thank goodness, that the Buddha and nine others are working on the third ray monad and can put in three simultaneous independent appearances, as types of that monad can, but those on the second ray can only appear twice independently. And he left statements concerning the first ray monad undiscussed, or at least he left that undiscussed in that context. So anyway, while resurrection does have a strong ray one connotation, it is the, in a way, the consciousness rising into being, and the sacrificial will of the soul connects with the second ray, and to a degree the first, and the lamb slain from the foundations of the world, the second ray, but using the first power to resurrect, first ray to resurrect. There are a lot of ray interconnections here, but let's just say that in general, Hercules first ray, Buddha third ray, Christ second ray. You know, they may all have had strong second ray because Hercules was a teacher. He did have a second ray personality, we're told, but not told about his monad. The Buddha had a second ray soul, third ray monad, Christ second ray soul, and we must infer a second ray monad. And probably there are references which in some way would confirm that. In a peculiar sense, these three constitute a triangle of initiation and are of paramount potency in the initiation process. They express strength, illumination, and love in full expression. So we really do have first, third, and second aspect in that order. All right. I think we may have reached a point where we can say that this is the end. One day I'll be saying that. The end of Esoteric Astrology Adventure 124D, page what? I always get lost with the pages. Page 487. And beginning of Esoteric Astrology Adventure, and it's not 134, it's 124. 124E, page 47. Okay. Because I lost some time through an interruption, I'm trying to make sure that each one of these programs is just about 1 hour long, but I've run over on some of them.